311.
Good afternoon and welcome to the 311 Radio Show, another edition here, aired every Sunday here on BOB 92.9 FM. And I am Fire and Life Safety Officer Jason Collins, and with me this afternoon, as usual, we have Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Natasha Ford. Good afternoon, Natasha. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Thanks. And how are you doing?
I am pretty good myself.
Good. Good afternoon to each and every one of you who tune into the 311 Radio Show week after week, where we tell you about the work of the Barbados Fire Service. We tell you what's happening in-house. We share information with you. We try to get you to follow certain safety precautions, you know, to make yourself, to make your environment, essentially to make those persons around you as safe as possible. We know things do happen, but at the end of the day, we always say prevention is better than
cure.
That's correct. He actually got it right. Prevention is better than cure. We're not able to stop everything realistically from speaking, but those things that we can talk about, where we can mitigate and minimize the dangers and the occurrences from happening, we try to inform you, we try to guide you. The emphasis is then up on you to put these things in place and to try to make do with the information that has been provided.
That is correct. We provide you with tools, and it is definitely an extra bit of work.
Yeah. Do it yourself.
Exactly.
But before we go any further today, we're going to start a 311 show with a bit of sad news. Recently, I think it was about 2-3 years ago, you know, for some reason, we had a couple of our officers that would have lost loved ones. We thought that that would have been probably in the distant future somehow, but it seems that history is repeating itself again.
That is true. Yeah, actually, two officers who would have lost their dad,
mm-hmm.
and that would be our deputy chief fire officer, Mr. Anderson Patrick,
mm-hmm.
and his brother, Fitzgerald Snipe, fire officer Snipe. And we just want to extend condolences to them and the rest of their families on the passing of their dad. And it doesn't stop there, because we have lost one of our own, a former deputy chief fire officer in Mr. Blackman, Deputy Chief Blackman.
Anthony Blackman.
Anthony Blackman. He would have also passed away during the course of last week. So a bit of sad news to start our program this week. But we extend condolences to all of the families of those officers.
Not forgetting, we also had sub-officer Blake Bourne, lost his dad.
That is correct.
And we're also extending deepest condolences to him, to his immediate family, to the friends and loved ones of all those persons who would be grieving and missing their loved ones at this time. No matter how hard we try to prepare for that, I don't think it's something we ever get accustomed to. So, to those of you out there who are listening, to those in-house, we extend our deepest condolences from the Fire Prevention and Code Enforcement Unit.
That is true. And I guess right now we're going to get into our today's topic.
Oh, yes.
All right. And she's in her more exciting voice now. So what are we talking about today again?
Right. So what we're looking at today, this week, and something that we want persons to take into consideration. When you drive around and you look at the landscapes of Barbados, we're seeing that there seems to be a building boom.
Sure.
You're seeing a lot of constructions going on. When you take the time to, well, they can say it malicious, or to investigate, we try to use some other words, what is going on, you recognize that a lot of these are now villas. Persons are going more villa-type buildings, apartments and such. Like, now, for me, I had a caller last week who presented an interesting case, and it got me thinking. And I think it is something that we honestly need to look at and we need to consider. Yes, we have the building code and whatever else within the within the establishment, within legislation and everything else that we're supposed to follow. But my concern this week is those villas, those retirement homes. Let me narrate them for you. The retirement homes where persons pay substantial amount and they own these. They look to you like they're apartments, but they own their residential home. They own these homes. And my concern about it is they look all nice and everything else, but for the persons in doing the contracting and such, like, it is okay to build these establishments. Some people do come in, let me give Jack his jacket at this point. Some people do come in and would converse with the bargain as far as service. They would seek consultation. We would go through the plans, do an assessment, make recommendations that they will follow through with. And kudos to you. But then there are some that you only recognize their product. And when you look at it, why is it presents an interesting challenge? When you buy things, when you build your home, do you build your home with the intent or thinking that, you know what, at some point in time it could become disabled?
And that's a very interesting point. I'm glad you raised that because it's something that even I thought about, you know, over the years. And as you said, as you drive around, you see Ford being malicious, I being observant. As you drive around, you see and you see these constructions, well, seriously, you notice a lot of persons are going up, as you say, because of the landscape of the island. There's sometimes not enough room to expand, you know, across
to build horizontal.
So you have to go vertical. Which is all well and good. Everybody likes to say, you know, people call it bungalow and that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, I also ask the question, if you are elderly and you build these, you know, multi-story buildings, so to speak, what happens as you age? You may not be as mobile. Some persons may have disabilities. You may lose a leg or a bit. These are things that are real. These are things that happen. And my question is, like, how? And even if you do have to go up, as in some persons have no choice, what I always say to people, my thinking has always been, always have essential rooms down bottom. So that if it becomes a point where you're not no longer able to get upstairs, the average upstairs and downstairs is built basically with the kitchen and so on. But the majority of bedrooms are upstairs.
At least have one guest room.
You should at least have a guest room or something downstairs, because when you become, if you become disabled or whatever the case may be, you should still be able, you know, to have some place to sleep. So we don't have it to work and that kind of stuff. But a lot of persons don't think about that.
It is true. And the majority of the times when we think disability, we always tend to think, you know what, it has to be a case for a person losing a limb or something like that, or eyesight gone, hearing gone. And one of the things, I mean, honestly speaking, like, you remember when I fell and I injured my ankle? It was over 6 weeks, 6 months, almost 6 months, close to 3 months or something like that. I don't remember how long it was. But for that period, maneuvering, because I did not have my full capabilities, I could not move around like I was accustomed to. I realized, you know what? At this point in time, I'm disabled. I had to be using crutches. I had to be maneuvering with those. And persons seem to think, you know what? Disability, you have to be wheelchair bound. And that is not necessarily the case. And what we want persons out there to be more conscious of, or to be more aware of, when you're building or when you're going to be investing in a building or apartment or a building, whatever it may be, take time to consider these things. If something should go wrong with me, that I become immobile, what is the next step? What happens from here? Is it a case that, okay, do we have enough able-bodied people that would be able to assist? Because we always talk about a buddy system. At work, we have a buddy system. There are times when Jason is my buddy, and there are times he's not. But realistically speaking, when you have a buddy system, like, we prepare people in the event of an emergency. This person is supposed to come to your aid. This person is supposed to help you. Now, when these persons live in these villas, if they don't have anybody else in there with them, what happens?
And that's, again, that's interesting. Now, again, on this program, I would have spoken to that to an extent already, where I encourage that more community-oriented behavior. So, you know, you get to know the people in your community, that the younger folks in the community, you should always, you know, keep an eye out, so to speak, on our elderly. That's one of the things that I have always advocated for in communities. It's something that I grew up, and I'm sure you grew up seeing going on around your community, where your mother or so on would have been, you know, there were certain people around that community she would call daily to make sure they're okay. Tonight they may go and check on them. That was what the culture was when I was growing up.
Let me raise my hand here, because as you say, you see the community that you're talking about, where we know each other's neighbors and such. Correct. Like, if you recognize, honestly speaking, that is not the community that we're not living in. We're not living in anymore. One. Two, I don't see the villas coming and building in my community. I'm not even sure if I can afford to get to the front. I can't even forget. You got the baby edge up in the air, and then you know you have to have a path to get into that. So realistically speaking, when you're talking about neighbors and community helpers and such, sometimes when you go into some of these areas, the persons don't even know who lives next door to them. And these are the circumstances. That's what it is. That's why for me right now, after hearing what it is, becoming so scary, because it means, okay, persons seem to think the Barbados Fire Service and that all we respond to is just fire. But we get calls, I mean, for medical as well. We get calls, persons, even if it's the medical team out there, you know what? We have an individual on the third floor, the fourth floor, that we need you to help us to evacuate, to bring out of the building. That now presents another face or another dynamic to what it is that we do. So imagine there being a fire. What are the things being put in? My question is, what are the things being put in place to secure these persons? And as I said, the majority of these persons are of retirement age, which means, I'm not saying that they're feeble, because we know we have some sprightly elderly people out there, but things happen. As you get older, you know, the mechanism of the body, it starts to change. You're not as strong as you used to be. You're not as agile as you used to be. And I mean, for crying out, I hear you complaining about measles. And for those of you who don't know what is measles, this is when the knees start to hurt. So we're looking at things like that. In an event like that, then what do you do? Where do you go from there? So that's what I'm saying. We need to look. It's not just about buying this apartment or buying this villa today, but we also need to think in terms of what is going to happen tomorrow. If, Lord forbid, I'm going outside to do something or the other and I slip and I fell, where does that put me? And because of the way that it's not like a hotel room that I can ask to be relocated to the bottom floor, it now throws a different spin on things. Now, we from the Barbados Fire Service, we know we're going to do our tabletop exercises and we're going to do our training and whatever else. But this is to get you thinking before you buy these villas. I'm not saying not to buy, but for spend your money who you want to. But think in terms of safety. What is it that I do? What are the questions I should be asking? What are the things that I should be looking for in these? If there is a fire, how do I get help? Is there only one escape? If it is the case that I'm sick and they need to get to me, and for some reason, there is no wheelchair access, there is no, you can't use the elevator, then how do I get out of this? These are questions that you need to start asking yourself. You need to start asking the persons before you move in. What other things can we put in place apart from the extinguisher? These are hard questions that we need to look at, we need to face.
I would take it a step further as well. But I would say the owners, when you are coming up with the construction idea, you have to also look, or I would say it would be nice of you to look and see, okay, if I'm catering these villas to retired or elderly persons, what are some of the things that I can put in place? You know, in case we have persons who might, as you said, be disabled or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. These are things that you can do from your end as well. Mm-hmm. Because if at the end of the day, yes, you may be building a villa to sell to someone or whatever. But if you are thinking in terms of that's the demographic that you're catering to, well, then I would say that it would be nice of you to at least put certain things against it. For example, simple things like a ramp. A ramp may be an essential depending on if you have a wheelchair bound person and so on living within that apartment, within that building. Mm-hmm. So some basic things that you may be able to do, you may have to look at something like maybe even installing short lights.
Well, there is no if or ands about it. They should be.
Correct.
They should be.
Because you may have somebody who may be hearing impaired, mm-hmm. and the strobe light may be their only form of
notification
that there's something is wrong. That something is wrong. Mm-hmm. And obviously, they would expect that. I would assume you're going to have your smoker lamp for extinguisher, because that is a standard whether you're disabled, whether you're able bodied. Mm-hmm. That is only this week I got a call and someone was asking me if there were.
This week or last week?
Sorry, last week, but this new time is playing. And they were asking me, what about in their private home? Do we need to have a smoke alarm? And I was like, I can't tell you, you know, what to do with your personal home, realistically. But however, from a firefighting perspective and a fire safety perspective, every single person should have a smoke alarm and a fire safety shot, at least in their home.
Well, wrong answer. I would say to you, if you were talking to me, I would not say it's your personal home. Honestly, no. When you're thinking in terms of your person, you want to be as safe as possible. The majority of the times that if something happens right now, we have this tendency of saying, you know what, I got home, probably know I can be safe. And persons have this perception that home is one of the safest, exactly, environments that they can be in. And that is honestly so far from true sometimes, because in most cases, I would say prefer to be at work. Why? Because it's legislated by law that there are certain things that all business places have to do. It's a matter of should, maybe, but they must have certain things in place. Extinguishers, smoke alarms, the exits must be clear. They need to have their fire safety check for compliance annually. They need to have, if that's the case, we look at if there are hydrants located around the building, if you have adequate water storage in case something happens. All of these are things that we're looking at. We also look at the way that store things, chemicals and whatever else, flammables. But when you're at home, who does that?
You're on your own. So the onus is on you. And that's really where responsibility comes in. Mm-hmm. You know, each and every one of us is responsible for our surroundings. And I always say to people, don't wait on anybody to do it for you. Don't wait on anybody to be your security or your safety officer. Be your own. Each and every one of us has that responsibility to be our own safety officer. Make sure that your area, your space is, you know. Sometimes you hear a person say, but this body's keep garbage over there and the garbage is piled up and rats come. Make sure that your area, if everybody takes care of their space, we would have a much better country. This goes not only in terms of fire safety, but even in terms of, you know, the rubbish and the bush from around your house. It is all part and parcel of your safety. You know, you may see the bush growing during the later part of the year, and it may not, in your eyes, it doesn't affect me. It's nothing to do with me. It's just bush and then my land. Mm-hmm. But then when the year turns into what we call our crop season now, then you find yourself in a situation where that same bush that is not yours and not your concerns becomes a hazard to your investment, which is your home. It is now a burn hazard that can catch your home as well. So sometimes we have to look a little more beyond, that's not my concern. Everybody take care of your personal, take care of your close surroundings.
And your own keeper,
make sure that your personal space is safe. And if everybody does that, you're nearby, that everybody does that, it should be a lot better. A lot easier on us.
It's true. So back to these villas again, what can we do? What are some of the things that we can put in place? What are some of the things that we can do to try to secure our aging population?
Well, like I started with saying, one of the things I would say is that you as the builder or the owner, so to speak, when you're looking at these constructions, think in terms of that. If you know that you're catering to that demographic, put some things in place, like, for example, as I said, the smoke alarm and extinguishers are given. Wraps would be something that I would recommend in a situation like that. But what I can also recommend is that you reach out to the Barbados Fire Service and make sure that we have a look at those plans.
And that is what I want to do to emphasize.
But it is important though. I mean, and this does not only go for thing, but I persons who are building generally, if the fire service should have a look at those plans to give you some advice or feedback. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, before, because it is easier to make a change to the plan than it would be to make a change
to the physical building once it has been constructed.
And we have experienced this on numerous occasions in our day-to-day duties, where you would get a plan and you say, okay, go check out this building. When you get to the building is already up and in full function. Right? Mm-hmm. There are things that you probably could, you would say, okay, but I would have preferred if this was. But by that time, it is a little too late.
In your own home, even in your own personal space, it's like sometimes you're constructing and you recognize, oh, but no, I wanted to do, I mean, it then calls for cutting or looking out a wall or something like that. That is money that has already been invested, and that is where we tend to go over budgeting.
Important that you have that you allow the first, basically
have the first service
before the construction has been completed. Mm-hmm. In the planning stages,
while still in the planning stages,
so that if there are any adjustments you can make with the architect and so forth and draftsman, whatever the case may be, at that stage before it gets to a point where we have to recommend, okay, we only have one exit, you can need another exit and so on and so forth.
And again, there is something like as simple as, I mean, I'm saying as simple as, but if we're building these multi-story buildings and we're having persons on 4 and 5 floors, something like a stair lift or a stair, you know, something that will be able to assist persons.
I wanted to say that. I was thinking it might be costly, but at the end of the day, sometimes you have to turn your eye against the cost when it becomes a life safety issue. And I always say to people, I go to places that people would say, but that's not expensive, but I say, but what is the person you're like on, the person that you are in charge of?
And I'm sure in some cases these things pay back for themselves.
You understand? Especially if you are selling or renting out the space, then as you say, it would pay back for itself eventually. Mm-hmm. Over the years.
So word to the wise is enough. As I said, one of the things that we try not to limit ourselves to is what is just available here. Technology is something that is always increasing. There's always new changes and new products on the market that can help us with our fight when it comes to fire prevention and fire safety. There is something, what we used to call before, something called the bomb pet. We don't use that anymore. But now we recognize that there are other devices over there that something that screws up, something like a smoke alarm. And I'm now being told it's an extinguisher. So it works pretty much on the principle of a sprinkler system. So before we go in too deeply into that, we know the technology is there, but we'll do due diligence, we'll do our investigation, our research and such, and we'll come back here and we will tell you more about it. But from what I've gathered, it is supposed to work on the principle like a sprinkler system. Once it detects a certain amount of heat, then it discharges. Not sure what the suppression system, media that it would be using in there, if it would be safe if a person is inside your room. All of that, those are things that we need to check out at this point in time before we go heavily
What can happen if possible, that we may even be able to get the supplier or somebody representative from the company who's supplying.
Mm-hmm. As we say, this is a community program. We're here for the people. We are of the people. That's not like some other program. I don't know who I just stole those lines from, but I'm begging you just to borrow it a little bit. But if you hear or you come across anything that you're unsure of or you want clarity, there's nothing wrong with contacting members of the Barbados Fire Service. You can contact the station within your neighborhood, your jurisdiction, those responsible for your area. You can contact, I think everybody basically knows a fire officer. We're small, but everybody basically knows a fire officer. You know our numbers. 311 is for emergency. You can look into, well, nowadays we don't even look into telephone directory. We go on apps, exactly, and we put in which station, and the number comes up. Talk to your officers, visit the station if you need to. And again, please observe the COVID protocols, the wearing of masks, sanitation process, and everything else. And if you have to answer questions, stop and answer questions. That is the only way that you get information. That is the only way you get clarity. If the person doesn't know at that point, he's like, because we don't have all the answers, like nothing, I mean, underneath my hair. But at the same time, if we need to do research and get back to you, thing is, we will do that. As I said, it doesn't make sense knowing that something is up there. Have you ever tried or looked at this? And I mean, I give kudos to Station Officer Small, because he's always, I don't know if he sleeps with the computer.
I don't even know if he sleeps.
I mean, there's something that he showed me quite recently, but I'm not going to divulge that because he is doing his research into that. And as soon as he gets the information from the manufacturers and everything else, we are going to bring him here, like a director, burst the information out to you.
So stand by, Station
Officer. Definitely stand by, that is for sure. Is there anything else that we can probably think about that we can do to these persons in these videos? And most of the times I would hear people say, but where are you going to concentrate? And I mean, it is one of the things that kind of borrowing a line from another drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. Because my thing is, persons have this notion, rich people things don't burn. And sometimes you look at it and you're like, you know what? So what is it that they're doing different that we aren't?
I think Jason had an answer for that. Yeah, I think, and I, it's something that I thought about over time. But I was like, you know, when you study it, most persons who we consider, we say rich or, you know, fairly well off, they would have someone who's always in the house, whether it be a butler, whether it be a maid, something.
Ah.
That is one of the things, because there's constant supervision within that home, most of the time. I think that's one of the things. Sometimes we will get, for example, a call from one of the security companies,
mm-hmm.
that there's an alarm condition at a private villa or whatever.
Okay.
But before we are dispatched, you would hear them call back and say, we contacted somebody and they said that they're fogging or such and such is going on.
Or the kettle was fogging. Okay.
But we're now with the average private home, most of us are at work. You know, everybody's trying to make ends meet, as we would say in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's at work, everybody's hustling to get to work for that particular time of morning. Somebody forgets his stove on, somebody forgets errands at dinner, something like that. And there's nobody there to see it in that vicinity. You can't even see the smoke alarm go off in the neighborhood because the neighbor's going to work as well. It's not a situation we are now, like say, in those villas where somebody's probably home most of the time, even if it's the other. So somebody's there. So sometimes, for me, I think that is one of the big reasons why you find that most of those things don't get too far. They don't get out of hand. Because I've been more than once to those private villas and talk, but before you get there, the situation is usually mitigated very early.
Okay. So therefore, folks who have one possible answer, why is that we don't get much fires when it comes to a certain class? However, on the other hand, what it says to you is that good housekeeping practices is essential for you. You may not have the butler, you may not have the maid, but then it calls for you now to be more vigilant in the things that you do, where you go, and such like. And I'm praying to you today to remember that call, that appeal. So we've come to the end of our show.
Yes.
For yet another Sunday afternoon.
But yes, we've definitely come to the end of our show. We hope you guys had a good one as always, and that you were enjoying your Sunday meal while listening to our lovely voices. And if you miss any of this, you can always view the podcast. www.vob929.com. That's the podcast. And there's also the VOB92.9 FM Facebook page. You can view it if you want to see the visual of the program on the VOB Facebook page, and also listen to it on the podcast if you care to, if you didn't hear it today. And as we always say before we close out here,
fire prevention is our intention.
Have a wonderful one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
On the Barbados Fire Service 311.